He was there every morning, checking tickets, helping people onto the small boat. And he was there every evening, performing the same tasks as we boarded the boat again, for the return journey from the other side of the island to the town harbour. He was a tall young man, 15 or 16 years of age, filling his summer holidays with these work days on the boat. His English was halting, but he did his best, and it was certainly better than my Greek. One morning, we boarded the boat quite early. The young man hardly bothered to check our tickets. He seemed absent-minded, jumpy even. And then it appeared, the small parcel. Someone had collected it from the post office, brought it down to the harbour and delivered it to the young sailor. He sat in the shelter offered by the awning of the boat, unwrapping the package. The envelope was carefully opened and it revealed a small cardboard box. This in turn revealed three rounds of bubble wrap. Finally, the treasure appeared. It was a wristwatch with a silver band. The young man slipped it onto his wrist, spent a couple of minutes resetting the time and making whatever other adjustments were required, and there appeared to be many, before showing it proudly to the boat's captain and several of the local passengers. It needed to have one of the links in the wristband removed, but the young man assured me that would be done by the jeweller on the street by the monastery. He had already worked for 7 weeks on the boat, he told me, saving all his money to buy the watch. He has seen it advertised online. Just the week before, he had sent the money to an address in Athens and then waited for the all-important package to arrive in the post. And here it was at last. Tomorrow, the jeweller would remove the link and it would fit perfectly. There was something new in the way he extended his arm to help people on board that morning. Now it was the left rather than the right arm, the watch glimmering and glistening in the high, hot sun. The gesture may have meant little to those coming on board, but to the young man, this was a way of affirming his place in the world. He was no longer a schoolboy. He was a working man, earning a wage, and with a bright new wristwatch to prove it. That evening, as we embarked, he offered his hand and the watch gleamed again, this time in the setting sun. The following morning, the watch was gone. I assumed he had dropped it to the jeweller's shop or forgotten it in the morning rush to get to the harbour on time for the first sailing. But it didn't appear the following morning either, and his wrist remained watch-free for the rest of the week. On the Saturday evening, as we disembarked, I remarked on the fact that I hadn't seen him wear the watch all week. "No," he said sadly. "It will not tell time. It will not do anything." "Have you taken it to the jeweller?" "Yes." "He says it is fake. It is..." He pointed toward the dustbin on the harbour. "Can you get your money back?" He shook his head slowly. "I send cash," he said. Suddenly, he was a schoolboy again. And I remembered a time when I was 11 and I saw an advertisement in the back of a comic for X-ray glasses that allowed you to see people as skeletons. "Amaze your friends with this exciting new insight into the working of the human frame," the ad said. "Become an expert on human anatomy," it said. When the glasses arrived, what I found was a flimsy pair of cardboard spectacles, one red eyepiece, one green, which were, of course, useless. They were probably recycled 3D glasses. One of my friends tried them on, threw them disparagingly back to me and laughed, "You were cottage, you egot." He hadn't needed to tell me. I already knew. And the young boy on the boat didn't need me to tell him. In a day, he had unlearned hope and come face to face with the disappointment and disillusion that are so often the harbingers of adulthood.